right at 7:01, I will be calling this meeting to order. First order of business is attendance. Our attendance question today is, what is a movie you can watch over and over again and never get tired of?
Senator Clark? Senator Robinson? Senator Wicklund? Senator Oscar? Senator Anderson?
Starstruck?
Senator Fondick? Senator Kalyani? Senator Shugel?
Miracle.
Senator Bierstadt?
Inception.
Senator Allen?
The Proposal.
Senator Hadjiannis? Senator Braun?
Remember the Titans.
Senator Concepcion? Senator Pan?
Inception.
Senator Young?
I'm going to go with Miracle as well.
Senator Lane?
I would say The Princess Bride.
Senator Steinhorn?
The Breakfast Club.
Senator Swanson? Senator Sayon?
Shrek.
Director Pham?
The Proposal.
Finance Director Keeley?
Good Will Hunting.
Ombudsperson O'Neill? Sorry. Parliamentarian Edholm?
No Country for Old Men.
Chair Nguyen?
Good Will Hunting.
The other Chair Nguyen?
The Balaton.
Chair Mir?
Donnie Darko.
Chair Harbeck?
Harry Potter.
Chair Anderson?
Black Beauty.
Controller Arshad?
Dead Darkman.
Co-President Benton?
Well, I typically go between either The Princess Bride or Singing in the Rain.
Co-President Adriano? Advisor Jonas Fernandez.
Out of Africa.
Myself and LA. Star Trek. Ombudsperson O'Neill?
It's a question. Harry Potter. All of them.
Senator Kalyan.
Adjourned on Sunshine off the spot, last one.
Senator Hadjiannis?
Trolls.
Yeah. Who else for the
Me.
Fonder?
Yeah. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Nice.
Did anyone not get their name called?
All right. With that, we have attendance. Next order of business is approval of the minutes from last week's meeting. Is there any issues with the minutes? Issues with the minutes? With that, minutes are approved. All right, community comment. Is there anyone from the community who wishes to comment? Community comment? No community comment? We'll move on. On to old business. All right, our first matter of business is President Bergman. I'm not sure if she's here yet or if she's just going to pop her head in.
I texted her and she said that because you guys were too fancy with your fancy water, she was going to refuse to come to me. No, actually, I did text her, but I haven't heard back. So
okay. All right.
Still.
All right.
Look at that. Perfect timing.
Right on time.
artist in residence. There we go. And he's wonderful. So if any of you get to meet him, he's pretty cool.
So as
I feel like I'm sitting on the floor.
I was going to say, we gave you the short chair.
The lowest chair in a room.
I don't think
Let's
that
see.
Goes up either.
This is one of those that's going to have to look at me short.
Just
want to
switch.
No.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I'll see you down the line. Have you already gone through your roll call?
We did go through roll call, so
do you
I was going to mention.
And you're all here. No, that's okay.
Do you want to share a movie that you could watch over and over again?
Oh, golly. I never watch movies more than once.
Wow.
Other than childhood movies and movies that my children put on play a lot. The first movie I ever saw in the theater was Snow White. So there you go. That's my one answer. I would watch that one again just out of nostalgia, colorized and all.
So the President Bergman is nice enough to come in and speak with all of us. She tries to do this once a semester. This is an opportunity for us to connect with her, for her to connect with us, and just kind of ask her questions that we have about the school, raise any concerns, anything that you'd like to give that you feel like she should, her attention should be focused on, or if you just want a chance to say hi. That's kind of why she's here. President Bergman, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit to some of our younger members who are
our newly elected members of the Student Senate? Congratulations, first of all, on stepping up into a leadership position here. That is wonderful. It's great to see a nice mix of people around the room. That's great. So I don't have, I mean, I'm here to address any concerns or questions that you might have. I have had a really busy schedule so far this fall. So once when I get my head up above water, my preference is to look out on the horizon and see what we should be doing long term. I think you all know that I've been involved with trying to put a strategic plan into action here, Gustavus Act. There you go. So I am trying to get feedback from everywhere and anywhere on areas of need or concern or enthusiasm. I'll take those positive things as much as you want to throw them at me. So my preference would be to start with some questions, and that will probably kick me into gear on the kinds of things you'd like to hear about. Here we go.
All right, with that, does anyone have questions for President Bergman?
Yes. Would you mind giving us an update on the Nobel renovation?
Absolutely. That one I'll be happy to talk about. Many of you know that we have plans in place for a significant expansion of Nobel Hall of Science that will almost double the square footage of the current building. So when I say significant, truly is a significant expansion, and then a complete top to bottom renovation of the current building. The whole thing eventually will be known as Nobel Hall of Science because we have this special distinction of using the Nobel name, which is a real honor to be able to call our building Nobel Hall of Science. This is a $70 million project. That's 70. $70 million. To put that in a little bit of perspective, the Anderson renovation top to bottom was about an $8 million project. The Beck Hall construction from the ground up was about a $30 million project. So a $70 million project is what you would call huge and big. And it's probably the biggest project dollar-wise that we will do on this campus for the foreseeable future. So fundraising for that project means that we set a goal of raising $50 million in order to get approval from the board to start that project. The remaining 20 we're borrowing. So Well, that's like a mortgage, which means that every dollar that you borrow, you have to pay a mortgage payment every month on. So the college has a debt, and we pay a mortgage payment every month on our debt. So we added $20 million to the college debt in order to be able to afford the Nobel project. We did that in a very smart way, so that in addition to taking on $20 million of debt, we refinanced some of our debt like you would with a mortgage, and got a lower interest rate. And so from an overall standpoint of the college finances, this was a very good package deal. Okay, so your question is probably more about when are we starting? The plan, we are down to raising the last $10 million. So we have 60 in place, 10 left to go. And if everything goes according to plan, we are putting a shovel in the ground and a crane on the campus for the new construction to start in April. It will take about 16 months, to do the new construction. Then we'll move everybody into the new construction in order to renovate the current existing building. So it will be tight on space for a little while. But I think in the end, it will be the least disruptive way we could imagine doing this, because we'll do the new construction first, move everybody in, renovate the current building, and then we have, after another 15 months or something like that, where everything is done and we're all in. The part I haven't mentioned is that the building will connect to the theater. In addition to adding a lot of science classrooms and labs, we are adding a new black box theater. It'll be known as an innovation theater, and an atrium that will be shared between science and performing arts. It's really cool. It's an awesome design, and can't wait for it to start. Now, does that answer your question, which was very thrown up kind of at a general level?
Definitely.
Okay, good.
All right, you mentioned the strategic plan. My question is, what are like some of the immediate steps being taken this year, and how can Senate as everybody step up to support it?
Great question. So we're right now at the stage of settling on some of the immediate priorities of the plan. One of the big areas of work is integration of the co-curricular and the curriculum, the in-classroom and out-of-classroom ways that create in total a liberal arts education. And I think that's where students can most readily have some strong input into that question of how do we integrate the in-classroom and outside of classroom work here in order to, in the end, have a portfolio and a resume essentially for all of you, so that when you apply for whatever's next, your resume will rise to the top of the pile and be the first candidate for an interview, and will be settled before you graduate into your next step. So here you are with Jonas Van Hecke to be able to really talk about, from your standpoint, how to best think about integrating your experiences, so that when somebody asks you that open-ended question of what has the liberal arts given you that's special, or what have you learned through your education, that you have an integrated answer to that, which I think is the distinction of the liberal arts. But one of those things that's a little ethereal, at least when you're a first year student here, to think about an answer to that kind of question. So I would encourage you to think about that integration concept and what that means. Support for a lot of other things like our career center, our mentoring program, those are the types of things that we have in the plan that relate to discerning your vocation, your calling, your career, your next steps, your ways to contribute to society and to your community wherever it is that you land. Those are other concepts that we're really striving to think about in the strategic plan. The faculty, you may know, is working on a new general education curriculum that does involve thinking about getting some practice in looking across disciplines at a challenge. Part of the vision of the plan is to be able to be prepared to act on the great challenges of our time. So what are those great challenges, and how might we help you all to be prepared to contribute to those great challenges once you leave Gustavus? So those are some of the immediate ways that I can see students getting involved in the planning process. Sound good or sound like ridiculous, President Bergman? Okay, give me back something here. Does that sound like that's doable? Okay, I'll leave it to you then.
Good.
All right.
I guess one quick question, are students involved in the new curriculum design, or is that a faculty?
Faculty are definitely working on it. Jonas, do you know the answer to whether they...
So the place where students would be would be on committee.
Yeah, there's three of us on committee.
Excellent. Happy to go there.
Then, can I go again?
I feel like it's kind of open floor at this point,
okay.
Just with everything.
So obviously the Nobel renovation is great for attracting bright new students. I was just curious over an update on enrollment and how we're going about attracting bright young candidates to come to the state.
Excellent question. It's a competitive environment out there. That's probably no secret. Minnesota is blessed with a lot of really great private colleges and a very good public university. So it's a competitive environment. So you are, by the way, some of our best advocates. Whatever high school you came from, you can be a recruiter. But having said that, we have a whole department here that works on all that. So a lot of the questions that we're wrestling with really now is building up scholarship funds in order to help make private college affordable for every family, with a long-term goal that's in the strategic plan of meeting financial need of every family. That's a stretch for us right now. And so I think helping people to understand that they can afford private college, that not to have sticker shock when people look at the cost of private college compared to University of Minnesota, for example, because in the end, it probably is about equal when you consider financial aid and the high probability that you'll finish in 4 years versus more. So I think we work really closely with financial aid and in general, with how to market Gustavus as a place that has a great community, has an excellent academic reputation, and a place where students can get involved and be part of how to make education real, not just going to classes and not just sitting in big lectures, but actually getting to know your faculty and having the advantages of small classroom and one-on-one kind of advising and interactions with our faculty. So I think it's a matter of telling our story.
Thanks.
Welcome.
along those lines and everything, you became our president about 3 years back, or this is your fourth year.
Correct.
As our president, and you didn't go here for your undergrad or your grad.
Correct.
Or anything. So you kind of had an outside perspective and have kind of like been brought in and become a Gustie. So like to you, I guess, what do you say sets Gustavus apart, and what do you define as like what makes a person a Gustie?
That's a really good question. And there's no, as you know, there's no one answer to that. In fact, the generalizations sometimes feel a little too general. But having said that, I think our community is what sets this place apart. And some of that has to do with the fact that we are a residential college in a fairly small town. And so the college is home for people, quite literally. And there's something special about that. Turns out that my undergrad experience was in a relatively similar environment where the college was the biggest part of the town. And I think that makes a huge, huge difference in how the college experience evolves for people. And even though people sometimes think it's a disadvantage to be 60 miles away from a large metropolitan city, I think in the end it's actually a huge advantage for us. So I think many of you know I served on the Board of Trustees for 7 years before I became president. So I had already drank the Gustie cup of Kool-Aid by the time I was thinking about whether it would be a desirable career move for me, which is a whole nother story. But I think part of why this place resonated with me is because it had some similarities to how I grew up and how what I found to be advantages of a residential college. So what I think that's one of the distinctions. It's hard to sell that though, because the allure of the big city seems to be something that's looked at here as a disadvantage, than that we're in a relatively small town. But I personally think in the end it's something you'll look back on to say, wow, I'm glad I had that experience, because it really helped me to get involved and to stay on campus most weekends as opposed to going home. Now, what else? I think that the commitment to from our faculty is something unusual here. And I hope you're all experiencing that, because our faculty have a commitment to the mission here that is part of how they're hired. It's part of the decision about getting tenure. And it's part of how they end up being wired, literally, in what is the joy of teaching. So I think our faculty are another distinction, and what better distinction to have, because excellence is the foundation of excellence at an academic institution really has to do with academics. And if you don't have that, it's really hard to build on that to say, when I say integrating curricular and co-curricular, if you don't have curricular, you're dead in the water. So we have the true advantage of a faculty who is not only good at their craft, but who really care about it and who care about students. And that doesn't mean that you necessarily would rate every one of our faculty members with an A+. I get that. But I can tell you from my own experiences that our faculty here have a commitment to mission that is quite unusual and an asset for the college.
I want to come back to the question of enrollment. I think 2 years ago there was a task force of the 2020 students. And this year there was like a low enrollment, international students at the Tales, and I was wondering if Vidal's intentional for future years, or like what's the update when it comes to enrollment for international students?
So the current sophomore class, how many in here are sophomores? Current sophomore class is an unusually low numbers class. And those numbers stick with us for 4 years. And so till you all graduate, I'm glad you're here. So without you, we would have one less. The current first year class, how many students here are first year? Anybody? Here we go, good. Thank you, good. Our current first year class is stronger numbers wise by about 30. And we're looking for an additional 30 or so as we're recruiting for next year's class. We are one of a small number of Minnesota schools that actually increased their enrollment year to year. Majority of first year classes were less than the year before. Most of our competitive schools, except the University of Minnesota, which had a good year this year. So we are most comfortable overall with a class of between 625 and 640 every year. And we're working our way back into that range after a couple years of falling slightly short. So if we have a class of 625 to 650, let's say that range, then our seniors will be happy because we'll be able to let more seniors live off campus. So the ripple effect over time positively or negatively impacts the decisions we make about what it takes to fill the residence halls before we allow off-campus living. So there is a ripple effect that you're all dealing with right now because of slightly less enrollment for the last few years. Yep.
Any more questions for Griffin Bergman? All right, so next, I think if anyone has any sort of things that they'd like to draw President Bergman's attention to, anything on campus, they'd like her to pay attention to at all. Does anyone have anything or any comments to her to make?
I've asked Solvig and Hubert to think about what's on your relatively small, the little things that would make a difference on campus. The best example I have of that was a really well-founded request to put more water bottle filling stations on campus a few years ago. So that all came out of the Student Senate, relatively small request, and we'll continue to upgrade drinking fountains to include that over time. But I've asked, and I will continue to ask, and you can certainly, if you don't say it tonight, pass it through your leaders or through Jonas Van Hecke into my office for cabinet discussions about the things that would not cost $70 million that we might be able to do over the summer. So that in particular is something that I'd be interested in hearing.
Does Person O'Neill?
One thing that I brought to the attention of the Senate last year, and I went and talked to Fatha Al-Udhiri and Physical Plant about, which isn't necessarily super small because there's an energy cost associated, but lighting up Old Main at night with spotlights could be good for marketing and just look cool in general. We do the same with Christ Chapel, but that was a thought that I had.
So I brought this to the attention of Senate, but about the possibility of making the feminine campus open. My high school did that, and that received quite a bit of response.
Okay. Yeah.
In regards to the Lund Center renovation,
talk about that for a minute, because that's right behind Nobel. We are starting to get an architectural concept going for an expansion of Lund in two phases. The first phase would involve a very serious upgrade of both the cardio area and the weightlifting area, both of which are pretty substandard, and half of them are would feel more like hallways at best, as opposed to dedicated fitness kind of spaces. So that's on our priority list for first phase of a Lund facelift, which I agree with you, is needed.
This is sort of back to the questions thing, but I'm curious about your perspective on the glute flex situation and what the plan is for the suspended orgs that are coming back in the next couple months.
Great question. So I'm hoping that there's a silver lining in some unfortunate situations related to hazing. And so I think the attitude that is important is to think about what have we learned and how can we come back stronger in terms of our all the good and great things that happen in the Greek life here at Gustavus, because the foundation is that. And that's what I think is the 95% of the reputation for Greek life here is really positive. So as we bring the suspended groups back into the full mainstream of Greek life here, I want it to be done in a way that really focuses on the future and how we can all get better. So my analogy is that my husband is a surgeon, and they routinely talk about complications and some unfortunate events that happen with patients as a way of learning so that those mistakes never happen again. And I think that attitude of always getting better is what will carry us through on reintegrating suspended organizations back into the mainstream. And I think that has to do not only with those particular Greek organizations, but with entire Greek life, that they're welcome back in with open arms, and that the expectations of all of our Greek organizations take this to heart and are better for it. So, and Dr. Van Hecke is in charge of all that, so she's going to do a marvelous job of making sure that happens with all your help and the help of the Greek life leaders.
I don't know if this thing has been brought forward before, but I've heard about tunnels connecting buildings. It would be really helpful in the weather like this, like, you know, just to like go from one building to the other using tunnels.
So unfortunately, the tunnels have the steam pipes in them and aren't really safe for human beings to navigate every day. So don't count on tunnels being the answer. Buy a good winter coat with a hood and good boots and look at it as character building. When you live in Minnesota, if you don't love winter, something, you know, something has to change. But the tunnels are really utility tunnels. And the main purpose of them is to carry the steam pipes that keep our buildings warm. I presume some of our other utilities as well, but that's the main goal. So the good news is with the Nobel expansion, you'll be able to go from the far end of the music building all the way through to the north end of the current Nobel building inside. So if you're on that traffic pattern, you'll see an advantage to that new construction.
that
have a concern. So I don't know if it's, again, as I usually said, it's throughout the board or not. So like for international students, especially when you know you have to pack your stuff for the stories, you have to bring stuff to IC, most part of it. So it'd be nice if you know you can just keep it in the building.
Yeah, so that's a really, you know, it's a really good question, and as we have more international students on campus, I forget where it came up in one of our surveys, that we need to take a look at how we can store stuff through the summer in particular. So it's on the radar screen, and we'll see what we can do to make that more convenient for students. I think there are solutions to that, other than carting your stuff all the way across campus.
Thank you.
Any further? All right, well then with that, thank you so much, President Bergman, for coming in here and answering our questions and listening to our concerns and everything. Do you have any final thoughts yourself?
Only to say thank you to each of you for getting involved in student government. This is a great training ground for real life. So, and you know that. Being student leaders is not just for fun, though. This is a real responsibility, and my expectation is that you will shoulder that responsibility in ways for the good of Gustavus. And I know you will. There are people around to help you do that if you run into sticky issues, which are part of how we learn. And as you know, I meet with your leadership about once a month, but my door is open in between that if people have real concerns. So don't, and of course you've got a leader here who can be a good go-between for you to my office if needed. So thank you for your work, thank you for your leadership, and let's make it one of the best years ever at Gustavus, right? 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 Okay, good. Okay, there we go.
Thank you, President
Bergman.
Some deep digging and some talks with Joe Ness. We have, pending the approval of the budgets today, we have a contingency budget of $63,271.26, which is much more than we expected, which is awesome.
Does anyone have any questions for the finance chair? Questions? All right, moving on. Health and housing update.
So the two charts in the 2 weeks ago about air conditioning cost estimate and opening feminine cabinet on campus. About the first one, I talked to Charlie Potts and he finally got back to me. So he's been trying to do some investigation about that, and his conclusion is that the knowledge we're having now is the cost will be huge. And to get the actual cost, we need some type of specialist to come and take a look and get us some sort of bill and invoice and pay them for actually estimating the cost. So what I'm getting from him is that we don't see a lot of possibility of that right now, but it's up to you to suggest further movement about that matters. For opening feminine cabinet campus-wide, there has been a lot of difficulty communicating with physical plans. I'm looking at directly contacting them this week. So I'll get back to you for sure next week about what's going to happen. For the two charges last week, Bob's chili recipe, I talked to Steve about that and it has been changed, so problem resolved. They will remove the pork out of the recipe, so it's only beef from now on. He also makes a suggestion that this is just in case, but the student can always come and talk to him directly. So it's not, I'm not saying that student cannot talk to senators and then reflect their opinions and come to health and housing as a mediator of that, but he also suggesting that please remind a student that they always have a choice of coming direct to a dining service. So the last one, putting needle disposition box into residential halls. I talked to Dolly, which is assistant director at ResLife, and he said that he's received concern about this before, so he will do further investigation and probably would get back to me in the middle of this week. I yield.
Any questions for health and housing? Questions? All right, with that, administrative director update. Administrative Director Taven.
Spring semester office hour sign up. There are some of you who have not signed up for any, and I really need you to sign up for two. There should be at least one person on each day, so that someone is there for at least like one person for 5 to 6, one person from 6 to 7. And if you have a problem with these, then you need to email me and we'll figure something else out. Just a reminder. Also, if you're going to be absent, you need to email me before noon on Monday, just so like I know and can prepare for that. Another thing, the committees. Some of you are signed up for more than is required, and then there are some of you who are not signed up for any, and there are some of you that are only signed up for one. So you need to be signed up for two committees, unless you're in finance. I need to see Shugel, Allen, Hadjianis, Steinrond, Swenson, Braun. Robinson's not here. After the meeting, if you come talk to me, that's awesome. Done.
Any questions for the admin director? Questions?
So like we have not received, or at least I have not received any updates from the signing up for any of the committees. So you know, I have a question that if I am signed up, because I signed up on the first day, so I just wanted to know if that's going to come soon. Thank you.
Yes. If I suppose that would be on our chairs then, if the chairs could please email their committees and let them know kind of what their plan is, so that we can start getting working, so that the senators know. But if you didn't hear your name read off and you signed up for two committees on the first day, I think that it's safe to assume that you are signed up on those two committees. Any further questions for the administration director? Further questions? All right, with that, is there any other old business? Old business? On to new business. Our first order of new business is budgets. And our first budget that we'll hear tonight is from the Finance Club. If the Finance Chair would like to speak about the budget and then yield the floor to the representative from the Finance Club.
All right, so our first budget is for the Finance Club. They initially requested $1,710 after looking at the documentation that they provided. There was a few fall trips that the documentation came out to about $150 instead of $200. And then they have some movie screenings and also a banquet, which they requested $800, which we gave them $750 due to the documentation. But I will give Jacob the floor so he can explain it a little bit more.
Yeah, so for the fall trips, we are obviously, or we got a fall and a spring trip, so obviously have to pay for busing and transportation for those matters and stuff like that, and for gas, as the documents show. And then we are starting the new educational movie screenings, which you need like copyrights in order to show it, and that costs $250, obviously, so that's where that cost is. And then for the spring banquet, based on what Jack said, it's the same thing, just for the cost of the banquet. That's at the end of the year for us.
All right. Does anyone have any questions for the representative? Questions? questions for the representative? All right, without any questions, we are going to open the floor for discussion on the budget. All right, floor is open for discussion.
Does Jacob leave here, or?
He can stay, he can leave, there's no preference. All right. Discussion on the budget. Anyone from finance committee would like to speak about why the budget was approved or talk to that? That would be good. Senator Young?
From finance committee. Everything seemed in order and fine based on the recommendation, that's why we dropped some of the values from what they requested. But otherwise, everything seems fine. How do you remember?
Thank you. Senator Allen?
And I'm also on the finance committee, and Banquet, at least from what I can remember, presents a unique opportunity to bring in alumni that I think would be open to the general public. That would be a great networking opportunity for the general student population.
Any other further discussion on the budget? All right, with no further discussion, we'll move into the vote. All those in favor of the budget, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Abstentions? So approved. All right, thank you. And?
All right, and for our second budget.
Wait one second. Help me remember the rule. If it's over a certain dollar amount, it has to be a person of individual vote?
$5,000.
Thank you.
And for our second budget, we have the quiz bowl. And this is just a car rental not even car rental, they're paying for their own transportation. But it's just for admission to this tournament for two teams, $265. It's pretty straightforward. They had awesome documentation. I will let James and Melissa explain it a little bit more.
So basically, we're just requesting funding for the fall tournament. It's on November 4th. It's at the U of M. And we just need $135 for each team, but we get a $5 discount for bringing a buzzer to a total of $265. And we're providing our own transportation.
All right. Are there any questions for the organization? All right.
It's a good question. What is quiz for?
Kind of like Jeopardy.
Like
the format is similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions for the committee? Questions for the committee? All right, with that, we move into discussion of the budget. Ombudsperson O'Neill.
When's the tournament again?
November 4th.
Okay. I'm all for it. Good luck. Go get them.
Further discussion? Further discussion on the budget? On why we're giving people money? Anyone would like to speak about this so that we have a record of why we chose to allocate it?
Like, it's a smaller request, so it sounds like a good idea, so I'm for it. Yeah.
All right. Further discussion. Senator Asghar.
I think it's a great opportunity for Kasaya students. Like, I've never heard of this before, so it's nice people who are involved in these kind of things have a platform to go out and compete against other people.
All right. Thank
you.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Lang.
With the proper documentation, everything looks to be in order, and I believe this is a good opportunity for them and for us to vote.
Right. Any further discussion? All right, with that, we move to a vote. All those in favor of approving the budget, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Abstentions? All right, so approved. All right.
Thank you.
All right, with that, we are going to move on to our other new business, which is a Gus Bus update. For that, I will be turning the floor over to Co-President Gabriano.
So this bus will receive an update about the Gus Bus. So they are going to move to a new system and how they check second student, so like NID stripe system, so that they have record of who gets on and off the bus.
Is there any questions about that? Another person who can talk to this is our lovely advisor, Ben Heckey. If you have any questions about this new system, it can be guided either place. Questions? Heather Young?
When is the implementation happening, or when, what's the timeline for this?
I think that it's very likely that it would be in place probably starting in January, but sooner if all of that can get figured out. Part of it is about ascertaining the technology that's necessary and how to get that into the bus.
All right, Senator Asghar?
I have two questions. So first one, obviously as our advisor Van Hacky mentioned that there'll be some sort of technology involved. Is Senate paying for it? And second question, like when they start the system, the ID track system, will be like, is there a way that the CSAVS community will know that, you know, the next time they need to call customers, they should bring their ID? Or if they don't bring their ID, are they still allowed to go on the bus?
So I would say that it would be a very reasonable expectation that when we knew that we were going to start with ID swiping, that we would let everybody at Gustavus know about that well in advance through student emails and other ways of trying to communicate. Like I could imagine that Senate would take some responsibility for telling all of your constituents, because you literally cover the entire campus, so you'd be involved in that education campaign. And then I think that there will be likely a hard start date, and at that hard start date you'd need to have your ID, you'd need to be able to present your ID to get on the bus. The other piece that needs to get figured out, that if anybody has any brilliant thoughts about it, I'd love to hear at some point, is what to do with Gustavus student guests, and how we might reasonably manage that without creating additional headaches and nightmares. And then with regard to financing, I don't know the answer to that because I don't know how much it's going to cost. If it's like $5, then I think my budget and the city of St. Peter can handle it. If it's $1,000, yes, and it might get hit up on that because at the end of the day, Gus Bus is your project.
Chair
Keeley? You kind of touched on it before. Just wondering about what about guests and not non-Gustavus students who are here, but you mentioned it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to figure that out. I've thought of a couple of possibilities. I don't love any of them yet, and so I'm waiting for somebody to think of some brilliant way of doing it.
Thank you.
I yield. Yeah.
All right, Senator Allen?
In regards to the guest situation, has one of the solutions that you thought of been like having the student pick up a guest pass for them that would work with the client's wiper?
Okay. Yep. That's been one of the things I've thought about. And then I think about how students tend to not be really great at doing that kind of thing. But maybe if you really want your friend to ride the Gus Bus, you'd do that. So I don't know, maybe that would work perfectly.
Chair Anderson?
Why do they want to track who's on the bus?
Actually want to track who's on the bus until there's a behavioral incident.
Right, okay.
And then when there's a behavioral incident, then we want to be able to go back and say, during this time period, here are the people who are on the bus, and here are the people who are going to be able to provide information about the behavioral incident. But it's the system would literally just collect and dump,
mm-hmm.
Until there was a problem.
No, yeah, I was wondering if, I figured that was the reason. I didn't mean like tracking a bad way by any means. But then, just an idea for the guests that I'm sure this is the other solution you thought of, but like, what if they just hand the driver a different ID, like their state ID, when they get on the bus, and then you get it when you get off the bus, and if there's an incident in that time frame, he writes down your information.
That we also talked about. The challenge with that is that the technology, depending on the ID that would get handed, the technology might not be available to gather that information. And I don't know that we want the drivers to stand around for 15 minutes writing down some random guest's ID, fake ID information. and so I think that I'm more inclined to think about systems where Gusties take responsibility for their guests, and that the Gustie is then who needs to make sure their guest is behaving appropriately. And let's be honest, it's not guests that are causing problems on the Gus bus.
Yeah, I do.
Senator Beersbaugh?
Yeah, so my question was just, like, why in general is this policy being presented? And then, like, what are the ideas that you currently have for, like, treating guests? Like, what are your proposals to be specific?
So it's really all about being able to hold students accountable for appropriate behavior on the bus. That's where it all came from. And to keep the bus moving and going, because whenever we've had a substantial behavioral problem on the bus, we've had all of these threats about maybe we can't have the bus anymore, and then student senate and the student body gets all upset about that idea because they really love the bus. But at the end of the day, people who love the bus need to be responsible citizens, and so knowing who's on the bus at any point of behavioral problem, I think, could help hold people accountable. And then the things that we've thought about on the guest is to register your guest and get a pass for them, to see if the technology would allow us to scan some other kind of ID. And we've also talked about Gusties being able to, and I honestly don't know yet whether or not this is a possibility, but in our existing technology, could you scan twice? So, like, if Mike is my guest and he's a non-Gustie, that I would scan my ID to get on, and then I would immediately scan my ID a second time to get Mike on behind me. And so that's a possibility as well. Those are the things that we've thought about as things we're looking into, and if you have better ideas beyond that, let me know. Things that aren't the driver's responsibility.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Harbeck.
I think out of all of the options, some that are really not so great, and others that also we don't like very much, to keep everybody safe, this is a great idea, and to keep everybody responsible. So I think something needs to be done, but the kinks definitely still need to be worked out. That's all.
All right. Senator Lang?
My question is, if someone had behavioral problems on the Gus bus, would they be suspended from using the Gus bus?
So to date, that's not been a disciplinary measure that's been taken. Students have been placed on disciplinary probation. Students have been held accountable financially for damage done. Students have been asked to reflect on where their behavioral decision making went awry, but to date they've not been suspended from the bus, in part because I'm not really sure, given the variety of drivers that drive, that they would ever actually, I mean, like, it would kind of be an honor system if you were suspended from the bus, and I don't know how that would ever get reinforced. But it's certainly something that if the Senate thought was an appropriate sanction, especially in light of a scan system, that might have a possibility.
Any further questions?
So it might be too specific or hypothetical, but have you thought of any possibilities for when Gusties forget their own IDs? Because, like, I feel like they'll put a lot of pressure, unnecessary responsibility on the driver to refuse, like, Gusties who have been drinking and
Yeah, I would say that they should then call a friend and have them come and pick them up and take them home.
Okay.
I mean, that's my personal answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't think they should drive while drunk.
Yeah. I was thinking it'll put a lot of pressure on the drivers that you hire or that the city hires for that.
Further questions?
How will the like ID scanning system work for people getting on if people just like bypass it and don't scan?
I don't think the bus will move then.
Okay. How will the drivers like keep track of that though?
Because it'll be like it would be like you walking through the CAF and not scanning your ID when you check out. The person who's, you know.
So the bus driver would be like just watching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got it.
Yep. It'd be like.
Got it.
Like a city bus.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. Any further questions? All right. With that, is there any other new business? Senator Kalyani.
Complex students have had a lot of problems regarding bugs and also spiders in their rooms. And me personally, I've complained to facilities more than twice about having a feeling that there are bed bugs in my room, and they haven't come back, like they haven't responded back if they have checked my room or not, because I leave my room unlocked for them to come and check because I'm never in my room. And I've been waking up with bruises and cuts and like bites. So I charge Health and Housing to take a look at that.
All right, can we get some specific wording on what you would like Health and Housing to look into?
Look into if the building has a problem with it or has a problem with bed bugs usually, if other students have a problem with it, and if they could check all the screens and everything, because the ladybugs were crazy the other day.
All right, is there a second to the charge? All right, Senator Pham. All right, and now we open the floor for discussion. Senator Kalyani, you still have the floor?
I do.
Okay. Senator Shugel.
I would totally agree with this because as I also live in complex, every night we always have about 6 bugs flying around our light that always just seem to sneak through our screens. And then the other day we had in our stairwell about 50 ladybugs up in the corner.
Further discussion on the charge? Advisor Van Hecke?
Please don't leave your room unlocked. When physical plant comes into your room, they have a procedure in place to be able to unlock your door and get in to perform maintenance. So please don't any of you leave your rooms unlocked. That's just an invitation for someone to come and steal your personal belongings. And if it makes you feel any better, everybody I know who lives in non-residence halls have been having ladybug, or I think they're actually officially called something beetle problems this fall. It seems to be particularly bad. Not that that doesn't mean that physical plant can't come and assess the situation for you.
All right,
it's
Senator,
not just you.
Senator Kalyani?
Also, I wonder if the physical plant, like, if they come in and they send an email follow-up or anything, because complaining about bed bugs was kind of serious to me, and it's like it's still happening to me, so I don't know if they have actually checked up on that or not. I don't really know.
I think it's great for Health and Housing to look into bugs, but I'd really encourage you specifically to call your area coordinator. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Call your area coordinator and have them get on it. And then they'll actually like make sure that it happens, because we don't want bed bugs, because that just leads to other bed bugs.
Yeah.
All right. Any further discussion on the charge? All right. Now we move to the vote. All those in favor of charging Health and Housing to look into the bug problem in complex and potentially bed bug problem in complex, please. If you are in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Abstentions? All right, so charged. Other new business? All right, Controller Arshad?
So I can't make a charge, so I would like some senator to make a charge. So my issue is that at least in complex, in the kitchen, there's no dish soap or anything. to wash your dishes or, you know, no cooking utensils or anything. And I don't know if it's the case in other dorms too, but I feel like it's something that Res Life needs to do for every dorm, as we are paying to live in there and we need to have some of these basic necessities in the main kitchen that we have in the basements of our dorms. So, health and housing, someone please make that charge. I yield.
All right. So with that, other, technically he can't charge, so I'm just going to go back into new business. Is there a new business? Senator Lang?
I charge health and housing to look into supplying the kitchens of the res halls with basic necessities. I yield.
All right, is there a second to the charge? Senator Asghar? All right, the floor is still yours. We move into discussion of the charge.
I yield.
All right, further discussion on the charge, Senator Asghar?
I think it's a great charge, but when I was a first year back in the day, we were provided with all the utensils and dish soap, but there were some, my fellow Gusties were ungrateful for those things and they started stealing those things. So I don't blame Reze. But like, even if they do it, then people just steal it. I do. But I mean, they should still have it. And I do.
All right. Senator Kalyani.
I think this will also like solve the issue which I was facing last year as I lived in IC. Like, everybody used to come to IC, coming to the kitchen, using it, and like leaving it totally messy because they don't live there and they don't care. So.
Okay, thank you. Senator Steinwald.
Yeah, I also remember the days when Res Life used to supply utensils, and I don't remember them lasting more than a month.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we want to keep supplying them, if they're just going to disappear. Are you?
Senator Concepcion.
I know a lot of, I'm in Pittman, and a lot of us, since we do have sinks, a lot of people in our building have dish soap with them, so we clean our dishes in our room, but I think it would be a good idea to keep some in the kitchen, because we don't have any in our kitchen, and there's an apple crisp that's been sitting in the kitchen for about 4 days now, and it's getting really gross, and the janitors aren't cleaning it, because it's our responsibility, and no one will clean it, and I think a lack of dish soap may cause some of that, so I'm in favor.
Apple crisp gate.
Yeah.
Go, President Gabber.
I also think that this issue is go to the hall councils in the residence hall, which might be the mayor that did. And I think it's just things that come by now. All of each other come about.
Further discussion on the charge? Further discussion? All right, with that, we're going to move into a vote. All those in favor of charging health and housing to look into discussing with Res Life the availability of cleaning products in the dorm kitchens, please say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
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 Abstentions? All right. Charge fails. Okay. All right. With that, we go back into new business. New business, Senator Allen?
A constituent approached me and wanted to know about like the availability of putting in more like drink or water bottle filling stations in co-eds if there's only one, or if that's not a possibility, possibly making the sinks deeper so you can actually fill your water bottle in them because you can't really put a cup in them. So I'd like to charge health and housing if someone needs that.
Is there a second on the charge? Senator Asghar. All right, with that, we move into the discussion of the charge. Senator Allen, still on the floor.
I yield.
Further discussion, Senator Asghar?
I think it's a great choice. I live in Unit, third floor, and there's just one water fountain in the basement of the first floor, so you know, it's nice to have more water fountains in the building in general. Either it's Nereus Hall or it's Unit. I agree.
All right. Further discussion on the charge? Senator Fonder?
I think it'd be nice to have more water fountains in the rest halls other than Coed, and there's only one. I just think making deeper sinks is probably not necessity. I yield.
Further discussion? Senator Allen?
Yeah, I agree with Senator Fonder. My constituent just approached me saying if we can't get water bottle stations, that'd probably be the next best option, but I think the easiest course of action
add that they look into Euler as well.
You can do that if you would like to.
The friendly it?
All right, so then we friendly it to just be looking into adding another water bottle station in both Coed and Euler. So those two. Further discussion?
When Senate has approved these water bottle fountains in the past, do we know how much they cost to implement each one? And if that goes on our budget too, or if that's a Res Life deal?
So, yeah, in the past, sometimes Senate has paid for it because Senate's felt particularly strongly about providing water bottle filling stations to its constituents, and sometimes the college has paid for them. And I want to say, like, a couple thousand dollars a piece,
so
plus labor.
Yeah. So I can't give you the exact numbers, but in Senate 4 years ago, that's when we originally put in all the water bottle stations into residential halls. That was a huge Senate project that was headed up by one of our senators at the time. And the decisions for where those water bottle fountains went, when they were looking at Coed, I remember specifically, it was looking at which one would be cheaper and which one would be more accessible. So that's what that went with one station rather than two. And it depends a lot on whether there is if they can just drill straight to the wall and there's a water pipe right there that they can get water out of, or if they have to get some way to circumvent water over there. So that's kind of where all the charges come in. And I think it ended up ranging, like some of them were $500 and some of them were $1,000. So there is a bit of a range to that.
I yield.
All right, further discussion on the charge. All right, then we move into a vote. All those in favor of charging health and housing to look into putting in water bottle filling stations in Coed and Euler, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Abstain. All right, so approved. Any other new business? Senator Concepcion.
A few of my constituents have approached me about the weird taste of the water from the water bottle filling stations in Pittman, and I would just like to charge health and housing just looking into asking physical what could be the cause. And they say it makes the coffee taste bad. If you use a Keurig, it makes the tea taste bad, so and make the water doesn't taste very good. So just looking into what potentially could be causing this so I can relate it back to my constituents. I yield.
All right. Is that a charge?
Yeah.
Is there someone who would like to second the charge? Senator Asghar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We move into discussion of the charge.
I've had a lot of people, I'm on second floor, and a lot of my girls on second floor have told me how bad it tastes, and just kind of, it just tastes weird, and when you make things in a Keurig, which a lot of us have, it makes, like, the coffee taste weird, the tea, and so just looking into, if, I don't think it's unhealthy, but if there's a problem, just finding out, like, what I can tell them about it. I yield.
Thank you. Senator Anderson.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that, like, when I was a freshman, I thought the water tasted bad, too, and now I kind of like it, so.
Okay, Sherwin.
Can you specify, is that your sink or the filling station?
It's the filling stations.
Are you?
All right, and Chair Muir?
Yeah, just be aware that the City of St. Peter regularly does like maintenance stuff with the water and pet filtration system. They even sent an email today, but that has to do with the color. So like, I don't know, or to just like be aware of that fact.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually send an email out like something's gonna change or something like that. I yield.
Any further discussion? Oh, Senator Lang?
Could it be that this taste is just a preference thing, or is it an actual health concern?
It's not like anyone's getting sick, but I know a lot of people have the same complaint that it tastes weird. So it's not just like two people, it's at least 13.
Further discussion on the charge? Further discussion? All right, with that, we move into a vote. All those in favor of charging health and housing to look into the water situation in Pittman Dorm, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Abstentions? Alright, vote approved. Further new business. New business? Alright, with that, we move on to announcements. Who has announcements? Co-president Gagarano.
I have an update from the technology director that the committee that we updated online, which is on the website, you can find it on Monday if you are not. You can sign up. And I would like to see the diversity shop at the mayor.
Other announcements?
Guy girl dance at halftime this next home football game. If you want to see me make a fool out of myself, it's fine.
Chair O'Neill?
Ethics will meet briefly after.
Alright, any other announcements?
I just want to make a quick comment. If you do want to refer to the comments of a previous speaker, please refer to them as a previous speaker rather than their name. I yield.
Administrative Director Taven?
I called your name, please remember when it comes to me. Alright, cool.
Any other announcements? I'm calling myself, Co-President Svensson. Alright. So that nice little awkward moment we had in the budgets, the reason why I did that and made you all talk is because we are giving money out to organizations. This is our student and academic fee. Student activity fee. There's the word. And so when we make decisions about where the money goes, we have to talk about why we are making those decisions. And it's not just like because that we all here know. The thing is that it's finance making these decisions, and we trust finance and that what they're doing. But we need to make sure that it's on record. There's no record of finance meetings and what they say in finance meetings. So when we're approving a budget here on the floor, we want to make sure that we're saying what the budget is and what it's being approved for and our reasoning behind it. So that way, if other organizations say, well, why didn't I get approved for that? They can know that we tend not to approve organizations for money if they don't have correct documentation, or if food is culturally relevant, that's why we're giving one organization money for food rather than another. And those things are really, really important for us to talk about. So when it comes to budgets, we have to make sure that we're having a discussion there. And it might feel like pulling teeth for a little bit, but I promise if you start to actually talk and we have some good discussions, and if you do have a problem with the budget, then we're gonna have some good discussions, and then it'll be less of me talking, which, as much as I love my own voice, I'm sure everyone would like to hear a little bit less of. Besides that, I hope everyone has a wonderful week. Is there any further announcements? Senator Schugel?
Cross country is at lacrosse this weekend, so wish your local cross country runner good luck.
All right, further announcements. With that, meeting adjourned.
Sick.